pase lo que pase, la vida continúa.
Immigrant Voices, documenting the undocumented.
Pase lo que pase, la vida continúa.
Hello, my name is Yolanda. I was born in Tlaxcala, Mexico. I am an HSC student majoring in math with two minors in computer science and Spanish. This is my third year here, and I am a DACA recipient. I migrated to the United States when I was 1.5. My parents brought me here, and they actually left me with a family member, one of my uncles and my aunt, while they spent time crossing the border. It took them 2 weeks, and my mom was actually detained twice, and my dad was waiting for her the second time that she got detained. He had to sleep outside in a bench. They were very discouraged. They felt they had no money. They felt like they just couldn't make it. And they called my uncle and said, you know what, can you bring my daughter back? Because we're just going to head back to Mexico, to our town, and stay there. And my uncle said, you can't give up. And the third time they were actually able to cross, after my mom almost died of hypothermia in the desert. And growing up, I knew I was an undocumented student my entire life, but I didn't really know what that meant. I was able to go to Mexico and visit my family, my grandma and my grandpa. I wanted to go back a couple years later, but my mom said that I couldn't, that things were risky, and I didn't know what that meant. I saw all my cousins go to Mexico and have fun and see the rest of my family, and I always wondered why I couldn't go. Once I got to high school and the college process, the applications and financial aid came along, it was really hard for me to go through that because I was very discouraged. People told me, like, oh, if you don't have a social security number, then you're not going to be able to go to college or get a diploma or work, get loans. Like, how are your parents going to afford college for you? So it was very discouraging, but I was able to go to a school that really supported me through that process. I met an immigration attorney who helped myself and the other DACA recipients in my high school go through that and find scholarships. And even though scholarships are really hard to find because once you apply for them, you know, you look at the requirements and there's always that U.S. citizen requirement. You know, it is very discouraging, especially coming from a low-income, first-generation family. You know, like back home, my parents have trouble, you know, making ends meet. They have their own bills to pay. They have my younger brother to send to school and feed them. And at the same time, still, they pay my rent here. And it's really hard, especially because they are undocumented. Like, yes, I'm documented, and I've never had to experience finding a job without a social security number, getting a job like that pays under the table. So I don't really know what it's like to be undocumented, but I know that there's 11 million people out there that struggle every day to make ends meet. And with all the talk about the DREAM Act, there's a lot of focus on DACA recipients, but it's not just the 800,000. There's a community of 11 million. With this presidency, you know, they do want to pass a DREAM Act, but that DREAM Act would not even help half of the 11 million that are undocumented. And on top of that, our president wants to increase border security and build the wall as if we're criminals. But let me remind you that if you are a DACA recipient, you do have a clean record. The only reason you can be and maintain your DACA, you know, your DACA, then it's because you're not a criminal. You go through background checks, you get your fingerprints taken, and it's not cheap. It's $495 for 2 years. I think that's ridiculous because we already struggle, like our parents already struggle to pay their bills, pay their rent, and feed their families. And on top of that, we need to pay to be protected from deportation. There's a lot of fear right now. The fear of uncertainty has always been a part of my life, and I'm pretty sure it has been a part of a lot of DACA recipients' life, like not knowing what's gonna happen. You know you have this protection for 2 years, but what if you can't afford to renew? What if you can't come up with those $495 to renew? Like, what's gonna happen then? Like, are they gonna come and find you? Are you gonna be sleeping and in the middle of the night, like, you know, hear knocks on the door and have somebody in uniform tell you that you have to go, like, handcuff you? You know, it's just a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what's gonna happen. And being 14 hours away from home, like, I'm worried for my parents too. What's gonna happen to them? What if one day I get that phone call saying that, you know, they're back in Mexico? Like, what am I gonna do? What is my brother gonna do? I could probably be able to survive on my own, but what is my little brother gonna do? He lives with them. It's a lot. My mom drives around without a driver's license, and I'm always thinking, what if she gets pulled over and, you know, they find out that she doesn't have a driver's license? What's gonna happen to her? My parents have made their life here. They have talked to me. They told me that they don't really see themselves back in Mexico. Yes, they do miss their parents. My dad has gone 20 years without seeing his mom. His dad passed away, and we couldn't go visit. So it's definitely, I do see all the struggle that my parents have gone through. You know, then knowing that I won't be able to graduate if DACA is taken away, I won't be able to get that diploma. That's literally the only dream that my parents have, like, for me to walk across the stage and get a career and be able to succeed. And the one dream that they have always had, it's not going to be able to happen simply because I won't have a social security number. And I think that's really unfair, because myself, like many other undocumented and documented students, have put so much effort. Some of us work two jobs. We're full-time students. We might not get the best grades. We might not have the highest GPA, but we are very resilient. And we will keep on going. Times do get tough. But this December, I was able to go to Washington, D.C., it was in order to demand a Clean Dream Act, and it was a very empowering experience. This national organization called United We Dream actually flew in a lot of people from different states to Washington, D.C. in order to do a lot of actions around there. And one of the actions that we did was we actually got into smaller groups, and we got to go into senators' offices and just take up space and chant and share our stories and just listen to each other. And it was a really good experience. There was a lot of emotion. There's a lot of people who have gone through so much more than I have. They're still there. They're still speaking up. They're still trying to fight and speaking up for those that are still living in the shadows. One story that really stuck to me was there was this 14-year-old girl who didn't qualify for DACA because she was too young. Her mom, she didn't work because she had to take care of her son who had, I can't remember what it was, but she just had to take care of him. And so the dad would work a lot, two jobs sometimes, and so the daughter wouldn't be able to see him. And for so long, this girl had so much anger towards her father because she felt like he didn't want to spend time with her. But as she grew older, she knew that it was only because they needed the money. They needed her brother's medication. They needed to pay rent. They needed to pay bills. They got evicted from a few places a few times. As the girl grew older, she just kind of understood more things, and she said, you know what, like, it's not fair that a lot of people don't want me here just because of my legal status. And she started organizing, and now she speaks like she's 20 years old, and she's so well-spoken, and it was such an inspiration to hear her story. Because I know I haven't gone through that many hardships. It is a mental toll, and it does affect us emotionally, knowing that we are DACA recipients, that we don't know what's going to happen to our future. But being in an office, in a senator's office, making noise and chanting just made you feel so welcoming, like you were in a place that you belonged. Being in Humboldt County at HSU, it's really hard to find that community here. And I still struggle, even though it's my third year here, I do still struggle trying to find that community. And whenever I'm feeling a bit sad or missing my parents, it's really hard to talk to somebody about my situation. You know, people tell you they understand, but they really don't. Like, that fear of getting that phone call from my parents saying that they're no longer here, really, it really affects you, and it can take a toll on your grades and, you know, you just like your personal life in general. After DC, I think that I'm in a better mental state. I'm definitely more encouraged to organize and make Humboldt a more welcoming community for the undocumented and documented and AB 540 students. Just to encourage them that it's not the end, that we're here for a reason, and that we belong here, that we matter, that we've worked, and that we deserve for everything that we have. It's not fair that just because we don't have a paper, it's one piece of paper and a number that we may not have, but that doesn't define who we are. Our experiences, the challenges that we have overcome, and everything that we learn is what defines us. And I think that's really important for other documented and undocumented students to remember. You matter, that you are allowed to speak up, and that there are going to be times where you're going to be scared and you're going to feel alone. Those experiences only make you stronger.
Immigrant Voices is a Flobo production through the studios of KHSU. Find the full story at khsu.org.